Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Yes, Lord, as we look at the world around us, we are compelled, we are drawn to the fact that as we look at our society, that it appears that people have lost their way. It appears, Lord, that people are so confused. Well, what are the standards that we should live by? How shall I live my life? And today, Father, I want to commit myself to following you. Today I want to realize that you're the one who leads and we're the one who are to follow. And today we choose to follow you, even as our opening song said. Folks, this is Don Crisp of the Good News Christian Ministries. I do want to welcome you to the program. We are now listening to the series, The Lord's Prayer. This is part two. We are focusing on the name. The name above all names is Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in the Lord's Prayer, as you know, it begins with, Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Now, just before we get to that, let me remind you, once again, you are listening to the Good News Christian Ministries. You can contact us at Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Holy is your name. That is our focus for today. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, we read that the disciples said to the Lord Jesus Christ, Would you teach us how to pray? Just as John the Baptist taught his disciples. It was so important in those days. When one was a disciple, that they would have something that would identify them with their rabbi, with their master, with their Lord. And so they asked them, would you teach us to pray? Then people would recognize us as your followers as we pray that prayer. And folks, that prayer was none other than the Lord's Prayer. But before Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer, he said a number of things. Let me read it to you. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. He says to his disciples, When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Oh, how they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they love to think that they are being heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Notice what he said there. He sounds the warnings. There they are. Don't be like the pagans. Don't be like the hypocrites, using many words. Oh, no. Then he goes on in verse 9 and he says, And this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. You know, my focus for these messages is that they would all be informational, inspirational, and motivational. You know, as we look back to the introduction to the message last week, as we looked at our Father in heaven, I said, first and foremost, the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer. It's there for us to look at and to examine and to realize that the prayer itself can mentor us in our walk with the Lord. I went to the historical document called the Didache, meaning the teaching of the 12 apostles. The Didache makes it clear that the early church always used the Lord's Prayer in its public worship services, and it did not permit non-believers to join in the praying. That's a stunning thing, isn't it? Only believers were allowed to pray this prayer. And they prayed the prayer in all their public worship services, as well as at weddings and baptisms, child dedications, at funerals. Whenever they came together, they prayed the Lord's Prayer because they realized it was a communal prayer. It was a prayer that was meant to be prayed with one another. I also said the Didache encouraged all believers to pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day. So every morning, every afternoon, and every evening, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ would pray that prayer. And I suppose people would hear them. And I could just hear people saying, they must be followers of the rabbi from Nazareth. They must be followers of Jesus, the Nazarene. He must be the one who was the rabbi and their leader. We've heard them pray. We understand that he taught them that prayer. Powerful, powerful. The second thing I mentioned last week, even as I just mentioned in this passage that we read, Jesus basically said, don't be like the hypocrites, don't be like the pagans. What was he saying? Two things. By way of warnings to each one of us today, don't show off when you pray, and don't babble. Don't show off when you pray, as well as don't babble. Using many words doesn't impress anybody, and it certainly doesn't impress our Father in heaven. And showing off as we pray, waiting for others to be around us. You know, Jesus said there, you know, if you want an intimate time with your Father in heaven, go in your closet. In other words, go find that place where you can be alone with God, your Gilgal or your Mitzpah, where you can go and be alone with God and do business with God. And then thirdly, I want to talk about motivation. Motivation. Last week I mentioned that the word Father indicates to whom we pray. The word our, as in our Father, the word our refers to those who with whom we pray. Let me say that again. The word Father indicates to whom we pray. The word our refers to with whom we pray. Yes, this prayer was meant to be prayed with one another. Doesn't mean that we can't pray it on our own, but indeed it was meant to be prayed together. Now we need to ask the question, why do we pray? Why do we pray? That, you know, that's a wonderful question. And the answer to that question is one word, worship. Worship. I'm reminded of what worship is. William Temple, late Archbishop of Canterbury, in his book called The Hope of a New World, he defined worship this way. He said, to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to vote the will, to devote your will to the purpose of God. That's what worship is. My friends, as we think about praying, why do we pray, and saying, why do we pray, and then praying the Lord's Prayer, oh, how important it is to know that it's about worship. You see, our motivation for praying this prayer, our motivational focus should not be to impress, but to express, meaning we need to express our love and our admiration, and as well as our adoration to a God who loved us first. It's not to be prayed to impress anyone. Oh, no. Our focus is to express, not to impress. The fourth thing I want to bring to your attention is prayer priorities. You know, we must never begin our prayers when we enter into the presence of God by saying, give us or forgive us, lead us, deliver us. That's the second half of the prayer. No. If children who speak to their parents like that are spoiled and selfish when they say, give me, give me, give me, give me. We hear that so often in our world today, don't we? No, prayer is best expressed in the acronym, or the word ACTS, A-C-T-S, the acronym. ACTS, A means adoration when you go into the presence of God. Indeed, we bring words of adoration, of praise. And C stands for confession. After we praise Him, we take a moment as we consecrate ourselves before the Lord, and we confess our sins. T stands for thanksgiving. We thank Him for what He has done and what He is doing, and we know what He will continue to do. And then S is for supplication. Oh, yes, that's that list. Now, Lord, would You give us today our daily bread? Forgive us our sins? Would You lead us? And would You deliver us from the evil one? It makes sense. It makes perfect sense. A little later on in the prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus concludes by saying, look, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the other things will be added unto you. What's he saying? Focus on God. Make your primary focus on God. Seek first the kingdom of God. You know what? Seek first the King of Kings, the one who sits on the throne. Yes, the name. I want to speak to you about the name today. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. The name. You know, when we use the name Jesus and we think of spiritual warfare, we think of the realms of darkness and the realms of light. When we use the name Jesus, we are announcing war in the realms of darkness. When we enter in and use the name of Jesus, the devil trembles, the demons fear. We must realize the power that is in that name. When we don't use the name of Jesus, we are announcing defeat. We're going in under our own name. And if you're a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you realize we cannot fight the enemy on our own. The fact is, the name Trump may open doors of finance. Einstein, we know, will open the doors of brilliance to some. Michelangelo may open the doors of art, but it is the name of Jesus that will open the doors of heaven. No other name. No other name can open the gates and the doors of heaven. As a matter of fact, Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, Jesus is the only name given under heaven whereby we may be saved. Isn't it interesting that it's his name that is used in vain by so many today? The only name people curse by or swear by today, it's the name Jesus. Or they use the name God as they curse. Isn't that a terrible thing? People have forgotten that his name is holy. We need to get back to our roots and reverence the name of God and worship the name of God by praying through the names of God. Think about it this way for a second. As we look at many of the names of God, let me just look at some of them today. The name Elohim, meaning the mighty creator. You know, when you go out into the wilderness or you go by and you stand by the water or you look at the leaves turning their beautiful colors in the fall season, or you in the springtime you look at the flowers coming forth and just how beautiful creation is, we must remember it was the creator who did it all. He is Elohim. He is also Adonai, meaning Lord or Master, Lord of all. Oh, then it's El Shaddai. El Shaddai means the Almighty. Adonai El Shaddai, the mighty Lord of the mountains. We worship the one who is the mighty Lord of the mountains. He is also El Elyon, one of his other names, meaning Most High. El Elyon means, it reminds us, if I may say, it reminds us that we're to turn our attention. We're to focus on the one who sits on the throne. No matter what you're going through, remember, God is on the throne. El Elyon still sits on the throne. He is the sovereign God. He is the Most High God. And we use the name Jehovah as the Bible records his name, the self-existent one, Jehovah. And then he attaches other names to the name Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Isn't it true that as we go through life, we look to the provisionary God, his provisionary promises, realizing he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the one who provides for each one of us. Jehovah Makadosh means that he is the God who sanctifies us. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord who is our banner. There's a covering over us. Jehovah Rahai, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is the one who heals. The Lord is my healer. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is here amongst us. Oh yes, and the psalmist said in Psalm 20 verse 7, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name. We will trust in the name above all names, the Lord God. That's where we'll place our trust. So let me ask you, are you trusting him? Are you trusting in his name so the doors of heaven will open? Are you able to say today, our Father in heaven, holy is your name? Can you also say, my Father in heaven, my Father in heaven, holy is your name? Doesn't that take your breath away? Just saying, holy is your name. We are told that as the scribes were copying the word of God, every time they would encounter a name of God, they would rise from their work table, they would go and they would wash and often change their clothes, pick up a new quill that was never used before, and then proceed to write the name of God. This, then, they would do every time, sometimes up to 3 or 4 times in a single verse. That's how respected and revered the name of God used to be. Oh, what a terrible thing it is to drag his beautiful name today through the mire and the muck. Holy is your name. Hallowed is your name. The word hallowed is the Greek word hagios. It's the word for holy. Hallow means to set apart as holy, to consider as holy, to treat as holy. You know where you worship in your church, that big room you worship in? It's called the sanctuary. It's a room that has been set aside, that's been set apart for worship. It's different than other rooms, different in the sense that this is the place where we go to meet God together. Now, I'm not saying that you can't meet him in the back room, not at all, but this is the place that's been set aside for worship. The scriptures say God is holy, and God's holiness, now understand this, God's holiness, holy is your name, God's holiness is the summation of all that he is, all that he's described himself to be. Think about his attributes for a second. He has so many attributes, but the reality is the word holy is the one attribute above them all that describes him best. You know, we say God is love, but we never say God is love, love, love. We say God is just, but we never repeat it 3 times. God is just, just, just. Or what about the word God is powerful or merciful? We don't say God is merciful, 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 or powerful, powerful, powerful. Oh, no, 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 no. What we do say, the one attribute that stands out above the rest because it is a summation of who he is, God is holy, holy, holy. It's in Isaiah chapter 6, we read, "It was in the year King Uzziah died, and I saw the Lord," says Isaiah. "He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. They were calling out to each other, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.'" You see, the Bible declares that God is holy, holy, holy. Our challenge for today is to practice being in the presence of God. In the 17th century, a French monk, Brother Lawrence, a humble cook living in a monastery, he wrote a classic called Practicing the Presence of God. What he meant by that is the ability to turn every event, even a menial task, into an act of praise and communion with God. Do you know how to practice the presence of God in your life? Remember, he's Jehovah Shammah, the one who is ever present. Rick Warren said, "Everything you do can be seen as spending time with God if he is invited to be part of it, and you stay focused and aware that his presence is with you." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whatsoever you do, whether you eat, you drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." Oh yes, one of my favorite writers, Oswald Chambers, says it this way: "There is a danger of forgetting that the Bible reveals not first the love of God, but the intense blazing holiness of God, with his love as the center of that holiness." Let's summarize. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Doesn't saying that again just take your breath away? Now let me ask you, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Have you called out to his holy name? If you have, and if you do, you will receive eternal forgiveness and eternal life. You see, if you take the name of the Son, then everything else that you need will be added on to you. I'm aware of years ago there was a wealthy man who, with his son, this wealthy man, his wife had died, but he and his son focused on a passion. It was art collecting. Oh, they traveled all over the world. They collected the finest treasures as part of their collections, priceless works by Picasso, Van Gogh, Monet, well, so many. And then one day war came upon the nation, and the son had to go off to war. You know what? It was only a few weeks later that the father received word that his son had been killed in action. He was carrying a fellow soldier on his shoulders to a medic. What a terrible message for any of us ever to receive. One day, a knock came on the father's door. He opened the door, and a young soldier was standing there. And he said, "Sir, I was a friend of your son. I was the one he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I have something to tell you and something to show you." As he came inside, he had a parcel under his arm, and he said to the father, "I am an artist. Well, not like Van Gogh or Monet, but I am an artist, and I want to give you this." And as the old man unwrapped the package, the paper gave way to reveal a portrait of a son. Though the art critics of the world would never consider this a piece of genius, but the painting did feature the young man's face in striking detail, and it seemed to capture his personality. The following spring, the old man, the father, died. The art world was excited in anticipation because they knew there would be an auction where all of his wonderful paintings, priceless paintings, worth millions and millions of dollars, would be auctioned off. The auction began with a painting that was not on the museum's list. People were stunned. "What is this?" "It's a picture of his son." The auctioneer said, "Who will open the bidding with $100? There was silence. Then someone finally said, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of a son. Let's forget it and get on with the important paintings." The auctioneer said, "No, we have to sell this one first. Now who will take the son?" Finally, a friend of the old man spoke and said, "I knew the boy. I will bid $100. The auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, and gone." Everyone cheered, and people said so many rude things. "Now we can get on with it." But the auctioneer looked at the audience, and he announced that the auction was over. Stunned. Just stunned disbelief quieted the room. Someone finally spoke up and said, "What do you mean it's over?" Another person said, "We didn't come all these miles for a picture of some old guy's son. What about these paintings?" The auctioneer said, "It's very simple. The instructions are very clear. According to the will of the father, whoever takes the son gets everything else." That's the essence of the message of the cross, folks. Whoever takes the son gets it all. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever calls upon that name that is holy will receive all that God has for them. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Would you pray with me? Even as we pray those words, Lord, we are reminded of how powerful your name is. And we want you to know that we today commit ourselves to lift high the name that is above all names. We know that there is only one name given under heaven, and it's a holy name. It's a powerful name. It is the name of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you thanks, even as we live to lift high the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, next week's message, we will focus on the next part of the prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Folks, I want to thank you for being prayerfully supportive of this ministry. The truth is, we can't do this without you. Now, if you believe that these messages need to be heard by those who believe and those who are yet to believe, then I need you to add your financial support to your prayer support. Now, listen to me. May you honor your commitment to your home church first. And then, if God wills it and moves your heart to support this ministry, then indeed make out a check payable to the Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Riedel Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. You know what? You can also email me at don.thegoodnews@gmail.com. That's don.thegoodnews@gmail.com. I'll look forward to hearing from you. May I encourage you to tell others and share this ministry with others? Get them to listen. There's so many different ways you can connect with this ministry. You can listen to it 6:30 every morning on CFRA 580 AM or on Rogers Cable 927, or you can go online, cfra.com, or even go to our website, Good News Christian Ministries, and click on broadcast, and there it is. Now, folks, don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross, a church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life. Oh, yes, a church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles, the precepts, and the promises that are found within it. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. And now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. And may you be grace agents for Christ in a world that is hungering for hope, love, and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, Lord, your name is holy. Holy is your name. Now here's Maranatha singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." God bless you.
In the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.